السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
الله يبارككم، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is الداء والدواء by الإمام أبو عبد الله محمد بن أبي بكر، who is well known as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah. We, in the last class, were upon a few things that he said after he had taught the various ways to make our dua potent, the various ways to make our dua very strong, the ways to make our dua effective. He mentioned quite a number of things. And then he came back, rahimahullah, as we read in our class, in the last class, to tell us a few things, even after he taught us about eight formulas. He mentioned eight expressions of dua. La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. He mentioned that. The dua of Zinnun. He mentioned other expressions of dua. La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim. La ilaha illallah rabbu al-arsh al-azim. La ilaha illallah rabbu al-samawat. Wa rabbu al-ardi. Wa rabbu al-arsh al-karim. That dua that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he will say when he was in any sort of a difficulty. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned all these formulas, as we said in our last class. And then he reminded us of something very important. He said, وَكَثِيرٌ مَا تَجِدُ أَدْعِيَةً دَعَى بِهَا قَوْمٌ. This one will occur on page 25. He said, rahimahullah, وَكَثِيرًا مَا تَجِدُ أَدْعِيَةً دَعَى بِهَا قَوْمٌ. Many times you will find a particular formula like this. دَعَى بِهَا قَوْمٌ. A group of people would employ that formula, that expression, to beg Allah. فَاسْتُجِيبَ لَهُمْ. And Allah would accept their dua and grant them their needs. ويكون قد اقترن بالدعاء ضرورة صاحبه. But it would have been that قد اقترن بالدعاء. That dua that they made exploring using that formula. اقترن بالدعاء ضرورة صاحبه. Together with the dua is connected to ضرورة صاحبه. The serious difficulty that the person making that dua was in, وَإِكْبَالُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and the way that person making the dua completely turned towards Allah, anticipating goodness from Allah, and concentrating paying full attention to that dua at the time he was calling and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أو حسنة تقدمت منه. Another thing that could have been connected to that formula that made it so effective and potent when it was employed was حسنة تقدمت منه. A good deed that that person was doing. He had done some good deeds in the past. And جعل الله سبحانه إجابة دعوته شُكْرًا لِحَسَنَتِهِ. Then Allah made answering that dua of his a means of appreciating his own good that he had done before. All these things came along as he was begging Allah, oh Allah, then these things came along. Daruratu halihi, his difficulty, his turning to Allah, hasanatun taqaddamat minhu, a good deed that he had done in the past. And ja'alallahu subhanahu ijabata da'watihi shukran li hasanatihi aw sadafa waqta ijabatin. Or that time that he was calling Allah using that formula, sadafa waqta ijaba, he coincided, he did that dua and it coincided with waqta ijabatin, one of the times that is prime for accepting dua. We have learned those times and they are about 6 in number. So when he made that call, it coincided with one of those periods. وَنَحْوُ ذَلِكَ, and things like that. فَأُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُهُ, and so his dua was answered. For example, look at Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, while he was in the belly of the fish. So this expression, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam employed it. But don't forget, it was not just about that expression. He was in the condition of darur. He was right in zulumat, in the darkness of the fish, in the darkness of the ocean. And then he called unto Allah. Wa ikbaluhu. When he called unto Allah, it was with full attention. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Full attention. Full anticipation of hope. And his response being granted. Aw hasanatun taqaddamat minhu. And don't forget, this was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could have also come along a time that Allah accepts dua. فَأُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُهُ, and so his dua was answered. Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, فَيَظُنُّ الظَّانُ أَنَّ السِّرَّ فِي لَفْظِ ذَلِكَ الدُّعَى. But someone who is not so vast about these matters will think that all that matters was just that expression. You would think that, oh, just say, La ilaha illallah, subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. Just say it. So you see them say that absent-mindedly, no attention, no darura, nothing, no good deeds previously. They just say it. And they want the kind of immediate response that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam got when he said it. Ibn al-Qayyim said, فَيَظُنُّ الظَّانُ أَنَّ السِّرَّ فِي لَفْظِ ذَلِكَ الدُّعَى. So someone will think that the main thing, the secret about that dua being answered is just about that expression. فَيَأْخُذُهُ مُجَرَّدًا أَنْ تِلْكَ الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي قَارَنَتْهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الدَّعِي. So he takes just that expressions, mujarradan and tilkal umur, and he keeps, they become away from those other things, allati qaranathu min dhalika da'i. They become disconnected from those other things that were part of the dua when that first person employed that same formula for his own dua. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا كَمَا إِذَا اسْتَعْمَلَ رَجُلٌ دَوَاءً نَافِعًا. A similitude of this is when an individual employs a medicine that is by itself very medicinal, very useful, very effective. Let's say paracetamol for headache. فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي. He took paracetamol at the time that he should take it, and in the manner that should take it, that he was supposed to take it. 2 tablets, 3 times daily for adults. He took it properly, in the way he should take it. فَانْتَفَعَ بِهِ. And then he found benefits with it. فظن غيره أن استعمال هذا الدواء بمجرده كاف في حصول المطلوب. But the other person who is not aware, no knowledge, no exposure to how medicines are employed, ظن أن استعمال هذا الدواء, he thinks that the use of this medicine بمجرده, just like that, careless about the dose, careless about the time and the interval of use before food, after food, and all of these instructions that doctors and pharmacists give us when we employ medicines. He thinks that those other instructions are not necessary. All that matters is just get the tablet. So instead of using two tablets three times a day, he uses three tablets once a day without those other instructions, thinking that that his action, kafin fi husul al-matlub, it suffices for him to obtain his desires, to gain his objective and have headache go away from him. Ibn al-Qayyim said this kind of a person, kana ghalita, what he has done is a big mistake. Yes, paracetamol is the medicine for headache, but it has to be in the way that it should be, in the manner that it should be, in the time that it should be, the same way all of these things come along with dua. He said, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا مَوْضِعٌ يَغْلَطُ فِيهِ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, and this is something that, this is a situation that many people make mistakes. They make mistakes about it. So they are usually considered, they are usually bothered about, oh, give me one expression, give me one dua, oh, give me one formula, oh, give me one nankali, oh, tell me one verse of the Quran. But they don't care about all other things surrounding that dua, all other things surrounding that adhkar, like those 14 other issues Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned to us, rahimahullah, that all contribute to the effectiveness of our dua. He mentioned 14: حضور القلب, مصادفة وقت الإجابة, الخشوع في القلب, الانكسار بين يدي الرب, استقبال الكبلة, الطهارة, رفع اليدين, البدء بعد الثناء بالحمد والثناء, الصلاة على النبي, تقديم التوبة والاستغفار, الإلحاح. All these things that we had learned about that make our dua very effective, he is not concerned about them. All that concerns him is, just tell me that kalima, let me say it absent-mindedly, irrespective of how it should be said. And he is thinking that he will get the kind of results that he was supposed to get when he properly employs those expressions in the manners that he should express them, in the way that he should express them, according to the instructions connected to expressing them, and all of these. He sets all of these aside. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, this kind of a person, kana ghalita, is making a very big mistake. Very, very, very big mistake. May Allah protect us. The next thing Ibn al-Qayyim came to tell us, rahimahullah, after giving us that instruction about that, and that one occurs on page 26. What we are discussing now, we have discussed them in the last class. I'm just trying to bring us back to the class today. On page 26, he said, rahimahullah, وَالْعَدِيَّةُ وَالْتَعَوُّذَاتِ, all our dua and the statements with which we seek refuge with Allah, التعوذات, العدعية, our supplications to Allah, والتعوذات, and those expressions with which we ask Allah for protection, بمنزلة السلاح, Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, they are in the status of our armaments, like our sword. They are like our weapons. وَالسِّلَاحُ بِضَارِبِهِ لَا بِحَدِّهِ فَقَطْ, and the sword with which we make our wars, we fight battles, بِضَارِبِهِ, it also has to do with the person handling the sword. the sword with which we fight wars. It also has to do with Daribuhu, the person who is using that sword. La bihaddihi faqat. It is not just about whether that sword is sharp. If the sword is sharp and the person handling the sword is not sharp, the sword will be ineffective. And it may even harm the person carrying the sword. May Allah protect us. وَالسِّلَاحُ بِضَارِبِهِ لَا بِحَدِّهِ فَقَطْ. When you handle a weapon, it also has to do with the person handling that weapon. لَا بِحَدِّهِ فَقَطْ. It is not just about how sharp that weapon is. فَمَتَا كَانَ السِّلَاحُ سِلَاحًا تَامًا لَا آفَةَ فِيهِ. So whenever you find the weapon, the sword, سِلَاحًا تَامًا, being perfect, you find a nice, well-straightened sword or armament, your gun, your missiles, whatever the weapon is, it is sound, it is perfect, it is accurate. La afata fihi. It does not have a defect or a fault. Wasa'idu sa'idun qawiyun. And the person using that weapon is a person that is strong, experienced. Wasa'idu, if it were a sword, you find that the arm, the forearm of the person handling that sword is sa'idun qawiyun, is an arm that is strong. Wal mani'u mafqud. And what will prevent that weapon from reaching destination is absence. Wal mahallu qabilun. And the place we have sent that weapon to is a place that our weapon can actually have effects. Hasalat bihin nikayatu fil adubi. Then at that, hasalat bihi an nikayatu. Then the effect, the impact, the onslaught will be felt, will be dealt on the enemy. Wamata takhallafa wahidun min hadhihi al-umur. Takhallafa al-ta'thir. And whenever takhallafa wahidun min hadhihi al-umur, any one of these issues that we have talked about, the weapon must be sound without faults. The person employing the weapon must be experienced. And we must avoid anything that will obstruct that weapon. And the place where we send the weapon is a place that weapon is sufficient. You may not be able to use a sword in a place where you need to use a gun. You may need to use a missile in a place, and if you use a gun, you have not used what you are supposed to use. You may need bunker busters, as we now know in present day. In all of these, it means that the dua you are supposed to pay attention to, make that dua in Qiyamul Layl, in your sujood, in the third part of the night, when you are on wudu, and making a lot of adhkar after making sadaqat, the more all of these are found in your dua, the stronger your dua, and the bigger the effect that it will bring in the place where you send the dua. Ibn al-Qayyim said, but if it is just about, I'm saying the expression, la ilaha illa anta, subhanaka inni kuntu min Allah, just all of these kinds of expressions, it does not suffice. Use the expressions connected to the how of its use, the extent of its use, when to use, how to use, how to improve its effectiveness and potency, and all of this. Connect them together. Then we'll see beautiful effects regarding our dua. After these lessons, Ibn al-Qayyim came to three things. And bismillah, today we hope to discuss these three issues. The first issue, Rahimah, the first issue is a contradiction, is a mistake people have. The second one is also a mistake in their understanding. People have mistakes in their understanding. The third issue is also a mistake people have in their understanding about dua. Three issues, three misconceptions about dua. They are the issues that we will handle today with Allah. Three misconceptions about dua. We like to handle these three misconceptions, inshallah, each of them very briefly. Today, inshallah. He said, rahimahullah, that is also on page 26, the last paragraph. He said, Waha huna su'alu mashhur. For those of us employing the copy of Nidal ibn Abdul Karim, it occurs on page 119, the last line. The Imam said, rahimahullah, Waha huna su'alu mashhur. Now we come to a question that is popular. What is that question? This question is a misconception. It's a wrong thinking about dua. So Ibn al-Qayyim will mention it and he will clarify it, rahimahullah. He said, Waha huna su'alu mashhur. He said, here today, we will be discussing a popular, widespread question. What is that question? وَهُوَ أَنَّ الْمَدْعُوَ بِهِ إِنْ كَانَ قَدْ كُدِّرَ لَمْ يَكُنْ بُدٌّ مِنْ وُقُوعِهِ. That question is that الْمَدْعُوُ بِهِ, what you are actually requesting, that request you are making. For example, you are saying, oh Allah, let me have my contract signed tomorrow. So this is your request. This request, in kana qad kuddira, if it was something that has been preordained, that is, that in this case, your contract will be signed tomorrow. He said, rahimahullah, if it has been preordained, lam yakun buddun min wuku'ihi, there is no gainsaying, it will happen. Da'a bihi al-abdu aw lam yad'u, whether this person who wants the contract to be signed tomorrow, da'a bihi, whether he made that dua, aw lam yad'u, or he did not make dua. You want your contract to be signed tomorrow. So whether you make dua or you don't make dua, it will happen. This is a question people think. They also think, on the other hand, that وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ قَدْ كُدِّرَ لَمْ يَقَعْ. On the other hand, if it has not been preordained to happen, لَمْ يَقَعْ, it will not happen. سَوَاءٌ, whether this individual سَعَلَهُ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ لَمْ يَسْأَلُهُ, whether he had begged Allah asking for it or not. You want your contract to be signed tomorrow. If it has been preordained, if it is from Qadar that it will be signed tomorrow, it will be signed whether you make dua or not. So if it is not also from Qadar that it will be signed, it will not be signed whether you make dua or not. Do you know what this means? He went us to tell us what it means. He said, فَظَنَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ صِحَّةَ هَذَا السُّؤَالِ. So some people think that this is a valid question. The question itself is wrong. ظَنَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ صِحَّةَ هَذَا السُّؤَالِ. So some people think that this is a question that is valid. فَتَارَكَتِ الدُّعَى. So they left dua. Because if it has been preordained that the contract will be signed, it will be signed whether I make dua or not. If it has not been preordained that it will be signed, it will not be signed because it has not been preordained whether I make dua or not, meaning that dua is irrelevant here. So why am I making dua? Fatarakat ta'ifatun. So these kinds of people, they abandon dua. Waqalat, they begin to say that la fa'idata fihi, dua does not have any benefit in it. May Allah protect us. This is a big misunderstanding. Very big misunderstanding. The first thing this kind of thinking will bring is that it will bring you in disobedience to Allah. How? Allah told us in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. Firstly, in the Quran, Allah said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبِ لَكُمْ. Your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. He said, ادْعُونِي. Make dua to me. Direct your dua to me. Make dua. Call upon me. أَسْتَجِبِ لَكُمْ. I will answer you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Those who feel too big, too intelligent to begin to call me, to begin to make ibadah, because ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah, because du'a is ibadah. That's why Allah said, ud'uni, make du'a unto me, call upon me. Then he said, yastakbiruna an ibadati. They feel too big, they feel too pompous and opulent, an ibadati, away from du'a. Ibadati huna takes in the place of dua. So they feel too big. How will I be making dua? Like this person who thinks that he does not need to make dua. Allah said, Sayadkhuluna jahannam adakhirin. They will enter jahannam, they will be disgraced. So this thinking that makes us abandon dua, this verse makes it clear that it's a mistake. That thinking, that thought is a mistake. What is the thinking? If it has been preordained that my contract, for example, will be signed tomorrow, whether I make dua or not, it will be signed because it has been preordained. And if I don't make dua, and it has not been preordained that it will be signed, whether I make dua or not, it will not be signed. So let me leave dua. This thinking is wrong. Why? It makes you abandon dua. And Allah has warned that those who abandon dua, sayadkhuluna jahannam adakhirin, they will enter jahannam disgraced. So that thinking that makes you contradict this verse of the Quran is a wrong thinking. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we had read those ahadith. He said, ad-du'a'u yanfa'u fi ma nazala wa fi ma lam yanzil. Dua is beneficial regarding issues, problems that are already on the ground. Dua is also beneficial regarding problems that are not on the ground. Fa'alaykum ibadallahi bidua. So, O servants of Allah, alaykum bidua. Stick to making dua. That thinking also keeps you away from dua. Any thinking, any reasoning that makes you act or think or say something that contradicts the Quran and the Sunnah, just take it, it's a mistake. It's a misconception. So this thinking, because if my contract, for example, is preordained to be signed tomorrow, it will be signed, whether I make dua or not. If it has not been preordained to be signed tomorrow, it will not be signed whether I make dua. This thinking is wrong. Why? It necessitates you, the thinker, to abandon dua. And you abandoning dua, Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Those who abandon calling me, making dua, سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرٍ. They will come into Al-Jannah. They will come into Jahannam. Sayadkhuluna Jahannam. They will enter Jahannam, the hellfire, disgraced. Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, fa'alaykum ibadallahi bidua. O servants, stick to making dua. This your thinking contradicts this verse. And the other verses that compels us and tells us about dua, this your thinking contradicts it. Likewise, it also contradicts that statement from the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the thinking is wrong. Ikhwa, when you have a thinking, no matter how fine it appears, no matter how interesting it seems, when it begins to contradict the Quran and the Sunnah, just know that you are making a mistake. Your thinking is wrong. That your concept is wrong. So there are so many other things. Look at Surah Al-Anbiya. Allah told us about the prophets of Allah. They will make dua. Allah said, then I grant the dua. Fastajabna lahu wa wahabna lahu Yahya. Zakaria was past the age where people can ordinarily have a child. Likewise, Ibrahim, they made dua. Allah answered, Allah said, I grant you. Even the wife of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, when she was told, you have a child, she was surprised. How can I have a child? Meanwhile, Allah gave them those children by way of answering their dua. Likewise, Yunus, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was in the belly of the fish. He cried unto Allah. Allah answered the dua and he expelled him from the belly of the whale. This makes us understand that dua is valid as one of the means to achieve our objectives. Dua is a valid way to achieve our objectives. So this is just very firstly to clarify that thinking. But the scholars have approaches they employ. When someone comes with logic, usually they can bring a logic to make him understand that his logic was illogical. That was the approach that Ibn al-Qayyim employed. The approach that I have employed briefly is the approach of throwing away logic, employing the verses of the Quran and the Sunnah to make us understand that that logic was illogical. The logical thing is that dua has impact on our needs. Dua has impact on our needs. And what is happening is that Allah has made Qadr. He has made preordainments connecting the means and the goal. Every goal, everything has a cause. So Allah preordained the goal together with the cause that will bring that goal. One of the causes that brings goals is dua. I hope that it is clear. One of the things that with which we achieve our goals is dua. One of the things with which we achieve our goals is dua. So if you say no to dua, you are saying no to causes, that things just happen without a cause. So Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, so some people think that this question is a valid question, but the question is an invalid question. So they leave dua. They say, no need for us, no benefit making dua. He said, rahimahullah, this group of people, despite farti jahalihim, the depth of their ignorance, and the extent of their misguidance, mutanaqidun, they are inconsistent and self-contradictory. He said, rahimahullah, inna madhhabihim, because if we go along employing this, their thinking, yujibu ta'tila jami'il asbab, it will necessitate that we should obliterate, we should cancel out every means to achieving a goal. We should say, oh, goals just happen. They don't have a means to them. And it is not like that. Every goal has a means to it. Think about this. The logical thing, the sensible thing is that you can't achieve a goal unless you follow the means to that goal. You want goals, you must follow the means. For example, Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, fayuqalu li ahadihim. So we should say to them, by way of refuting that thinking that they have, that in kana ash-shiba'u war-riyu qad quddira laka فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ وُقُوعِهِمَا أَقَلْتَ أَوْ لَمْ يَعْقُلْ. Okay, he said, إِنْ كَانَ الشِّبَعُ وَالرِّيُّ قَدْ كُدِّرَا, If it is that ashiba'u, to be full, to be satiated of food, warriyu, to be satiated away from thirst. Ashiba'u is when you eat, you are not hungry. Arriyu is when you have drunk water, you are satiated, not feeling thirsty. These two things, qad kuddira laka. If these two things have been preordained for you, fala budda min wuku'ihima, akalta au lam ta'akul. If we say, for example, that, oh, to be satiated away, not needing food and water, to be full, if it is already preordained, such that whether you eat or you don't eat, sharibta au lam tashrab, whether you drank water or you did not drink water, wa in lam yuqaddara, and if these two things have not been preordained, lam yaqa, they will not happen, akalta au lam ta'akul, whether you ate food or you did not eat food. He's saying, so why eat food when we are hungry? Why drink water when we are thirsty? If it is that I will be full of food and I will not need to drink water, whether I eat food or I don't eat food, if it has been preordained that I will be full, then I will be full. If it has not been preordained that I will be full, then I will not be full. So I don't need to eat food and I don't need to eat, I don't need to drink water. We see that this is inconsistent. Why? Allah has preordained that if you want to be satiated of both food and hunger, the means to that satiation is that you eat food and then you drink water. The same thing, the means to obtaining our objective, one of them is that what we make dua. So you can't say, oh, dua is irrelevant. It's like saying eating food is irrelevant. Why? It has been preordained that I will be full, not needing food. No, the preordainment does not preclude, it does not remove the means to obtaining that goal. I hope that it is clear. He said, he gave another example. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْوَلَدُ قَدْ كُدِّرَ لَكَ فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ وُجُودِهِ وَطِئْتَ الزَّوْجَةَ وَالْأَمَةَ أَوْ لَمْ تَطَعْ. Take for another example. إِنْ كَانَ الْوَلَدُ قَدْ كُدِّرَ لَكَ. If a child has been preordained, it's like saying, according to your argument, it has been preordained that you have a child. So you can say it has been preordained to have a child, whether you have intercourse with your wife and your female slave or not. It has been preordained that you have a child. So you'll have a child. So if it has not been preordained that you will have a child, whether you have intercourse or not, you will not have a child. So the meaning that is that intercourse is not necessary to have a child. Nobody will say this. If you want to have a child, you have intercourse with your wife, you have intercourse with your female slave. This does not mean that it has been preordained or it has not been preordained that you have a child. If you want to have a child, the means to that is to have intercourse with your family. So a means to having a child is what? Having intercourse, the same thing. A means to obtaining our goals in life is having dua. Making dua is a means. The way the goal is preordained, it is preordained together with the means by which that goal will be obtained. He gave us that example. He said, Rahimahullah, if you now say no, the child is preordained, whether I have intercourse with my wife or not, or that I will not have a child is preordained, whether I have intercourse or not. He said, "Fala hajata bika ila tazwiji wa tasarri." So you would think that your argument will make you think that, oh, I don't need to have marriage Oh, I don't need to have a battle, go to war so that I can have female captives. Because you know, in Islam, we are permitted to have intercourse with our female captives, prisoners of wars, after they are given to us as spoils of war in the days when these things happened like this. So the point here is that if you think that whether you make dua or not, what you are making dua for will happen, or if it has been preordained to happen, or that if it has not been preordained to happen, it will not happen whether you make dua or not. It is a means of setting aside the means. If you do that, you are canceling out means. It's like saying that you can have a child whether you have intercourse or not. You can have a child. This is what it means. Meanwhile, having a child, one of the means that Allah has preordained to having a child is what? Having an intercourse. So if you want a child, you follow the means. Having the child is the goal. The means is having a wife that you have intercourse with. The same thing, hunger and thirst. The preordainment that Allah has made is that together with the means is eating food and drinking water. So you can't say, I will be full whether I eat food or not, whether I drink water or not. No, Allah has preordained the two together, both the goals and the means to achieving those goals. He said, Rahimahullah, وَكَذَلِكَ يُقَالُ لَهُ فِي الْحَرْثِ. The same thing we will say to such persons, فِي الْحَرْثِ, about cultivating a land, وَالزَّرْعِ, and planting. You can't go to say you want to reap rice without planting rice. When you plant rice, you hope to reap rice. You can't say, if it has been preordained that I will reap rice, whether I plant rice or not. If it has not been preordained that I will reap rice, I will not reap rice, whether I plant rice or not. So planting is not important, because one of the other things has been preordained. We say no. The preordainment is that if you must reap rice, you must plant rice. If you must reap rice, you must plant rice. Both the goal, reaping rice, and the means, planting rice, are both from the Qadar. Likewise, you cannot plant rice expecting to reap beans or maize. No, it is what you plant that you reap, meaning that both the goals and the means to that goal are from the preordainment. So if you want your documents to be signed tomorrow, for example, one of the ways to achieve that is to make dua, because it is from the means to ensure that your goals are obtained. I hope that it is clear. Ibn al-Qayyim says, rahimahullah, فَهَلْ يَقُولُ هَذَا عَاقِلٌ أَوْ آدَمِيٌّ. Would we have any person who is aqil, who is intelligent, or adamiyun, or a human being? Would we have them saying that we can reap rice without planting rice? Would we have any intelligent person saying that you can become a doctor without attending a medical school, whether in conventional medicine or in alternative medicine? Can you become a doctor without attending a medical school? Can you become a lawyer without training in the university and in the law school? Can you do that? Can you pass exam without studying? Studying is the means. The goal is passing exams. The same way, one of the means we follow when we obtain our goals, one of the means that has been preordained together with the goals, is dua. One of the means that has been preordained. So the means is part of the preordainment of the goals. The goals have not been preordained without means. No, Goals have not been preordained without means. No. Goals have not been preordained without means. No. Goals are preordained together with the means that bring about them. So a child is preordained to come together with an intercourse with a wife. Hunger is preordained to be taken away by food and drink. The same way, dua has been preordained as a means of obtaining our goals. So no intelligent person will come to say, no, you can reap rice after you sow maize. No. If you want rice, then you sow rice. The means to reaping rice is to sow rice. The means to reaping maize is to sow maize. Not just sowing it. You prepare the land, you till the land, you add fertilizer where necessary, and all of these. You expect you water it or you irrigate it. These are the means, all of them means, to obtain your goals. Both means and goals have been preordained together. For every goal, the means to that goal are together with it in preordainment. Ibn al-Qayyim said, even little animals understand this. He said, Bal al-hayawanul bahim. Even the animals that walk on the street, the goats, the dogs, and other animals, mafturun ala mubasharatil asbab. They have that instinct, ala mubasharatil asbab, that they must follow the means to achieving their goals. Those goals, allati biha kiwamuhu wa hayatuhu. The animals, they have instincts. They have been created to think that they have to follow a means to obtain their livelihood so that they can live well. So the lion will hunt. The bird will fly about to look for a food. And the one that walks gently, like the chameleon, it will walk gently. That its gentle walk is the means to obtain food. No animal will say, sit down. The lion will not say, sit down in our area without hunting for animals. No, they hunt. So the means for them to obtain food is to follow the means. So animals also understand that to obtain goals, you must follow particular means. So the Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, فَالْحَيَوَانَاتُ أَعْقَلُ. Can we say that even these animals are now more intelligent than people who think that you don't need to follow the means to obtain your goals? Ikhwa, this is very important in our times. See young people who practice Yahoo and all of these. This is one of their problems. You want to be rich. One of the means to being rich is that you must walk. It's one of the means. You must make dua. It's one of the means. You must relate with people. You walk, you relate with people, you do businesses, you trade. All these are various means to obtain that goal. You cannot obtain a goal without following the means that has been preordained together with the goal. And then you say, if it has been preordained, you become rich. If it has not been preordained, you will not become rich, whether you walk or you don't walk. No, if you want to be rich, if you want to find a means of livelihood, you must walk. There must be something leading to another thing. This is the way Allah has preordained existence. Even the lower animals, mafturun ala mubasharatil asbab, they are all made to understand and follow that instinct that there is a means to obtaining the goals. Allati biha kiwamuhu hayatuhu. Those goals that help them to obtain their lifestyle and continue existence. So fal hayawanat aqalu wa afhamu min haula. So we see that these animals that understand that you must follow a means to achieve your goals, aqalu wa afham, they are more intelligent, they are more understanding than those people who think that, though you can obtain goals without following the means to obtaining those goals. So these people, فَالْحَيَوَانَاتُ أَعْقَلُ وَأَفْهَمُ مِنْ هَؤُلَاء الَّذِينَ هُمْ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. These people who think like animals, even the animals are not thinking like that. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ. So the people are more astray. The animals are not thinking that, like a lion thinking that it can eat food without hunting. It has to pursue the gazelle. It has to pursue the cow, the bush cow, the various animals that it hunts. It does not sit down to say, oh, if it has been preordained that I will eat today, I will eat. If it has not been preordained, I will not eat. So whether I hunt or I don't hunt, I will eat if it has been preordained. I will not eat if it has not been preordained. No. Both the hunting and the eating are both preordained. The way to eat is to hunt. The way to earn money is to work. The way to have children is to marry and have intercourse. These are the way Allah has preordained life. And even lower animals understand it. So if human beings don't understand that one of the means to obtain goals must be followed to obtain that your goal, then that is unfortunate. That was why I said, Balhum adallu sabila. They may even be more astray than lower animals, because lower animals understand that we must follow goal. We must follow the means to obtain a goal. I hope that this first misconception is clearly explained. What is that? People think that if I want my dua to be answered, for example, I want my contract to be signed tomorrow, it will be signed tomorrow by preordainment, whether I make dua or not. And if it has not been preordained, whether I make dua or not, it will not be signed. So that makes them leave dua aside. Firstly, we said it contradicts all the verses and ahadiths and reports of history that we have seen that makes us understand that dua is one of the means to obtain goals. Dua is one of the means to obtain your goals. You need to have a child, you need dua. You need work, you need dua. You plant, you want your rice to grow well, you need dua. So one of the means, just like if you are planting, one of the means is that you buy land, you till the land, you add fertilizer where necessary, you employ workers in the farm, you bring tractors. All these are means. One of the means you have to employ there is also dua. You put the plant, the seed on the ground. You water and irrigate. All these are means. One of the means is dua. So one of the means to obtaining our goals is dua. But if you say, no need for dua, we just sit down and wait for Qadar, then you are saying that no means should be employed towards achieving goals. You say, no, both the means and the goals are from the Qadar. Both the means and the goals we want to achieve are from the Qadar. And one of the way Allah has preordained that we can achieve goals is through dua. I hope that this is clear. So he went to the second misconception. He said, وَتَكَايَسَ بَعْضُهُمْ وَقَالَ. Some of them, another group of them, think that they are being intelligent. تَكَايَسَ بَعْضُهُمْ. Another group begin to want to employ intelligence. They say, "Al-ishtighalu bid-du'a'i min bab at-ta'abbud al-mahdhi." They say, getting busy with dua, min bab at-ta'abbud al-mahdhi, is from the aspects of pure worship. When you are making dua, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana, is just worship. You are just worshiping Allah. Pure worship. Yuthibullahu alayhi da'i. That's your worship. Receive Allahu alayhi da'i. Allah will reward you for worshiping him. Min ghairi an yakuna lahu ta'athirun fil matlubi biwajhim ma. But that's your dua. It does not have any impact on what you are asking for. Look at. You are asking Allah for pure health. Allah will reward you for making dua. But that your dua does not have any impact. Fil matlub, regarding you having pure health, sound health, biwajhima, in any way. You are just making ibadah. And Allah will reward you for ibadah. Now, whether he gives you pure health or not, your dua does not have any impact on that. Wala farqa in the hadhal kais. This person thinking himself to be intelligent in his view. There is no difference between dua wa bayna al imsaki anhu bil qalbi wal lisani fi ta'thiri fi usul al matlub. So for him, this person thinking himself to be intelligent, there is no difference between dua wa bayna al imsaki anhu. There is no difference between begging Allah, Allah give me sound health, wa bayna al imsaki anhu, and not saying anything. Bil qalbi wal lisan. You are not thinking and anticipating with your mind. Neither are you saying it on your tongue. Fit ta'athir, regarding the impact fi husul al-matlub, to obtain what you want. Meaning, you are begging Allah, Allah, give me sound health. Allah, give me sound health. This your dua does not necessarily become a means to obtaining sound health. It is just dua. You are just worshipping Allah. So all that you gain from it is reward for ibadah. This dua itself, it does not have impact on the sound health that you finally gain. This is a misconception. Dua is ibadah, yes. You will reward for ibadah, yes. But that dua for sound health, it has impact on the health that Allah gives you. Dua for wealth, it has impact on the wealth that Allah gives you. Dua for good sleep, dua for righteous children, it has impact on the kind of children that Allah gives you. It is not just about worshiping Allah. Dua has impact on what you gain and what you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people think wrongly that dua is just worship. So there is no difference between when you are asking Allah for good health and gaining good health. No impact, no relationship. They say, these people, they say, وَارْتِبَاطُ الدُّعَاءِ إِنْدَهُمْ بِهِ كَارْتِبَاطِ السُّكُوتِ. So you're asking for sound health. It's like you are not asking for anything at all. All that you gain from your dua is that, oh, thank you for making dua. Allah rewards you for making dua. It does not have impact on what you are asking for. It's a misconception. Wala farq, no difference. That's what they say, no difference. Whether you ask for sound health or you don't ask for sound health, you're asking for sound health or you're not asking for sound health is the same. If you make dua for sound health, Allah will just reward you for making dua. You say no. Allah will reward you for making dua. Allah will also grant you sound health, depending on how effective your dua is. He will grant you sound health. He will also reward you for making dua. So they cut off one part of the rewards for dua and take one part of it. It's a misconception. The two of them will be granted. Allah will reward you for making dua. Allah will also, from your dua, grant you what you want. The prophets of Allah, they say, فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّ يَرِسُنِي وَيَرِسُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ. That's the dua of Ibrahim. Allah gave him a son. He gave him another son. Two rewards. He gave him Ismail. He gave him Ishaq. What did he ask for? A son. So you see now, that dua that he asked for, he has impact, despite the fact that he will be rewarded for making dua. The dua itself has direct impact on what he got. Look at Yunus. He begged, shouting, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka, inni kuntu min. Allah brought him out. So the point here is that dua, when you make it, you are rewarded for making dua, because dua is ibadah. Then that dua also has impact on what Allah will give you. The misconception is that people think that, oh, you just make dua, Allah will reward you for making dua. But it does not mean that you will get what you have asked for. No, it has impact on what you ask for. That thing can be given to you immediately. Allah can give you at another time. He can give you a part of it. He can employ it to give you something better than it. Can various form, but there's actually an impact between what you get and the dua that you made. But they say no, there's no direct impact between what you get and the dua you made. All you gain from dua is that Allah will reward you for making dua. That is another misconception, and we have tried to clarify it. Bismillah, in the next class we come to the third misconception and the comments of Ibn Qayyim regarding those misconceptions. Misconception one we had treated today is about Qadar and Dua. If it has been preordained that, oh, I will have a child, so whether I marry a wife and have intercourse with the wife or not, I will have a child. We say no. If it has been preordained that you have a child, you have to marry and do what? And have intercourse with your wife. Both marrying, the means to having a child, and having a child are connected. The means are always connected to the goals. The goals are not just there, they are connected. And one of the means to obtaining our goals is dua. So we need to make dua, despite the fact that that thinking contradicts all the verses of the Quran that encourage us to make dua. And it also contradicts all ahadith that encourage us to make dua. It also contradicts all that we have known from the history of the prophets of Allah and the past generations, that they will make dua and Allah would answer. They will not say, oh, we will not make dua. Why? What will happen will happen. What will not happen will not happen. So why am I making dua? Dua is one of the means to make things that you want to happen, or not to make things you don't want not to happen. One of the means to obtaining that is dua. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ad-du'a u yanfa'u mimma nazala wa mimma lam yanzil. Dua is beneficial regarding things that have happened and regarding things that have not happened. فَعَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ بِالدُّعَى. So, servants of Allah, make dua. This hadith also shows that the second misconception is actually a misconception. Do they think that, oh, dua is just ibadah? It does not have anything to do with what you are asking for. Say no. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dua is beneficial regarding something that has happened and something that has not happened. فَعَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ بِدُوَى. So, ya عِبَادَ اللَّهِ, so servants of Allah, عَلَيْكُمْ بِدُوَى, stick to making dua. He already told us that dua has impacts in those things regarding which we make dua. It is not just that we'll be rewarded for dua, we will be rewarded for dua, and then our dua has impact in those things that happen, by way of removing harm or protecting the harm, or by way of obtaining goodness and multiplying the effect of the goodness. We are being technical now regarding understanding dua. I hope that we understand it. Bismillah, it remains one more misconception he will clarify, and then we proceed, inshallah. But I hope that these two misconceptions are properly clarified and understood about the Rahman.
Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykh, and salawatullahi alaykum.
آمين آمين وإياكم. Bob Rahman, there's a question here. Bob Rahman.
نعم يا شيخ علي. بوسع.
Question here. I have come to accept a trial in my marriage for many years. For many years now, to the extent that I no longer put pressure in making dua for Allah to grant me what I want. Does this contentment with my condition mean that I might not get what I want since I'm not showing much bother about it? This is the first misconception. It's a misconception that Ibn Qayyim is correcting. The trial has been consistent because it has happened for many years. So you resort to say, oh, that's the prerequisite, rather than what you want, which is peace in your marriage. That peace in your marriage, one of the means to getting peace in your marriage is what you are. So don't give to say, oh, it's preordained, because you don't know that preordainment, number one. And because Allah wants you to make dua. And because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that regarding problems that are on the ground, dua is effective. Regarding problems that are not come, dua is effective. So this problem on the ground, no matter for how long it has lasted, make dua, make dua. Making dua makes you have good hope and good thoughts about Allah regarding yourself. Making dua is also ibadah. Making dua will also help influence what you do, because you cannot be making dua to have peace in your marriage, and you are not yourself working towards peace in the marriage. So when you begin to make dua for peace, all of these will begin to help engender a peaceful atmosphere. So this question that you have asked is the fourth misconception Ibn Qayyim seeks to explain. You want goodness in marriage, make dua. One of the means to gain goodness in marriage is making dua and adjusting, of course, appropriately. Acting to follow those dua. If you are asking for peace, you cannot be at war and then you are saying for peace. No, you will be seeking the means to peace. One of the means to peace is begging Allah to grant you peace and success. So, oh woman, go back to your mat. Go back to the manners about dua. Make dua, make dua. The dua is beneficial with problems that are already on the ground. Beg Allah for change. Beg Allah for change. A man lived for 70, 80, 90 years. A woman was there for 70, 80 years, not having any child, losing all hopes that they can have a child. There is nothing. Yet, they did not lose the hope of that. Allah answers dua, and Allah answered their dua. Likewise, the man was in the belly of the fish, in the deepest part of the ocean, the zulumat al-bahr, fanada fi zulumat. Under the darknesses of the ocean was where he called out unto Allah, and then Allah brought him out to safety. It means dua is effective. So no matter how difficult the marriage is, make dua. And dua uyanfaru. The dua is very, very beneficial. These are the misconceptions that Ibn al-Qayyim seeks to rahimahullah to correct from all that people have as misconceptions. And for me, this question makes us understand that we are not just reading about theory. These things actually happen. People actually think like that. That since it has been preordained, if I make dua, it will happen. If I don't make dua, it will not. So let me not make dua. They set dua outside. No, make that dua. One, you'll be rewarded for dua. And your dua has impact on what happens finally, good or bad. So make dua. Make dua. Make dua. May Allah accept our dua and grant this woman goodness in her marriage, peace in her marriage, And the rest of us too, brothers and sisters, who may have issues with marriage, may Allah help bring peace and success in the marriages. I hope that it is clear. Amen. Can we ask one more question before we call it a day? The time is already fast spent. We are 18 minutes beyond.
This question is, Assalamu alaikum. Can I make dua on sujood outside salah? That is, I just go in sujood to make dua.
If someone goes in sujood to make dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the closest that the individual is to his dua being accepted is while he's in sujood. But that sujood the Prophet was referring to is not general. It's a sujood that is connected to salat. You can make a nafila and use the sujood in those in the nafila. Use the sujood, you have two in the first rak'ah, two in the second rak'ah. The sujood the Prophet mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam is not just sujood. It is sujood that is connected to salat. It is a sujood that is connected to salat. So if you want to employ that as a means of obtaining closeness to Allah in dua, make it be connected to salah. Allahu alam. Are we calling it a day? Time is really fast. Somebody is asking, how do we make our dua effective? This was what we have been discussing since the last 10 weeks. Please go back to the last classes. How do we make our dua effective? Please go back to the last classes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.